see that here today as well. This is a special service. It's a family service, and so there's no beginner's church or anything like that. And if you need the nursery, though, at any time, it's staffed. It's ready to go, and you can make yourself available for that. It's to the left of the Welcome Center if you walk out, if you need some help there in the nursery. And in just a few moments, each year we have a children's Christmas story. And so if you're a kid, I'm going to invite you up here soon. And so listen to those instructions if you want to participate in our children's Christmas story. So get ready for that. At the end of the service, we will get to sing again. And we'll have a Christmas candle lighting. And you hopefully got a candle on your way in. Maybe you have it handy right now. And at the end of the service, the ushers will come and light the candles on the end of the rows there. And pro tip, if you lean the unlit candle towards the lit candle, that's easy to get your flame going that way. And parents, if your kids want to participate and you think they can handle a candle, then you can by all means let them participate. If you think, though, that they could cause the church to file an insurance claim later on today, you can be the judge of that, whether or not they want to participate or not. We'll look forward to that at the end of our service in just a few minutes. All throughout Christmas or Advent seasons, we look back on the coming of Jesus to this earth and look forward to Jesus' return as King. We've been reading Scripture together, and we've been doing that with different families in our church, and so I'm going to invite the Barnhart family up. You might have seen them around before, and they're going to be our Christmas Eve readers today, so listen as they share Scripture with us.
The earth is the Lord's, for he made it.
O come, let us adore him.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
O come, let us adore him.
The mercy of the Lord is everlasting.
O come, let us adore him.
For from heaven he came to us. Luke 2, 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told concerning them, this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
John 1, 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.
Thank you, Mike and Sarah and Josiah and Silas. Let's pray together. Dear God, there are many, many good things most of us have been able to relish today and enjoy: family and friends, food, laughter, presents, Christmas carols, candles, all good things. And God, in the midst of all these good things, help us, God, not to miss the main event: Jesus coming to this earth, Jesus dwelling among us to reject sin and defeat it, to offer the gift of faith to us. And God, a promise that he will return again as king. And in the midst of all this waiting for Jesus to come again, he promises all the grace we need to live for him. So help us, God, even today, to fully savor everything that Christmas is. Cause us to delight in the Savior that came to save sinners. And may we rejoice in the gift of faith, and we can remember the main event: it's your Son, Jesus. And we pray it all in his name. Amen. Well, every Christmas Eve service, we get to have a children's story. And so it's that time. And so if you're a kid, guess what? If you consider yourself a kid, and we were trying to find out, what does that mean? Well, if you haven't shaved today, maybe that qualifies. But maybe if you're a kid, you can come on down here with me. We're going to sit right here. And you can gather around. What's that?
I haven't shaved yet.
Oh, you haven't shaved it? Oh, yeah, that's for just the guys, I guess. That's true. Think about that. Come on, now we can gather. You can gather on the steps around here. You can find a seat up here or down here in the steps. We got to make sure you can see the book. Yeah, good job. All right. Man, we got a lot. I didn't know you guys were all hiding in here. Look at all these kids. Wow. All right. Ezra. Hi, Ezra. I'm George. All right, so we got a few more coming in. Yeah, that's good. Now, if you guys crush it in the behavior department, which I know you can, we're going to have a treat for you at the end, okay? So we need to listen very carefully to a very special story. This story is called, can everybody see it? Can everybody see the book?
No.
Oh, let me turn over here. This is A Very Noisy Christmas. A Very Noisy Christmas. And if you can't see the book all the time, the pages are on the back on that wall right there. They're behind me there. So you've got pages everywhere. A Very Noisy Christmas. Now, this is a book that's not like most other books, because there are some words that we're going to have to go shh and listen very quietly. Just use our whispers. And there's some words that I'm going to be really loud, really loud. So you'll have to be listening very closely to see if we get quiet or loud, because something amazing is happening in this book. So let's listen and find out. See that? It was a quiet, quiet night on the hillside. The shepherds and the sheep were sleeping. See them sleeping? Shepherds were using the sheep as a pillow. Isn't that a good idea? And suddenly, an angel! The shepherds were so, so scared. But wait, the angel was saying something. See that? Angel shows up. Uh-oh, what's the angel going to say? Let's listen carefully. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring you great joy to all people. God's rescuer has been born in Bethlehem. He's the king of the whole wide, wonderful world. You will find the baby wrapped snugly, lying in a manger." See that picture right there? See it over there too? Good job, Ezra. Then suddenly, "The king has been born. Glory to God. Peace on earth." Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels were praising God at the top of their voices. See all those angels singing? Whoa. Thousands of them. Then suddenly, the angels went back to heaven. Everything was quiet again. The shepherds hurried off to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus in a manger, just like the angel had told them. The shepherds wanted to tell everyone. You see that? They're with Jesus now. So, wake up, everybody. Something amazing has happened. Jesus, the rescuer, has been born. Oh, they're telling everybody, aren't they? See that? Meanwhile, in a land far, 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 far away, some wise men were studying special books, watching the stars. See them? They got a little telescope there, and they're paying close attention. Didn't know they had telescopes back then.
Wise men ride on a camel.
The wise men do ride. How did you know that? That's very good.
Because I just know it.
Let's see if we find it out in the story here. Then suddenly, wow, look, what is it? A new star had appeared in the sky. See that? The wise men see a star. There it is. They knew the star meant that a special king had been born. There's the camel. So they packed their bags and went on a long, 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 long trip to see the new king. When they arrived, they found Jesus and gave him special gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. They bowed down before him. They knew he was the king of the whole wide, wonderful world. Do you want to know something special? What's on the next page? Jesus is God's son and our rescuer. He's the king of the whole wide, wonderful world. Jesus came at the first Christmas so we can be friends with God forever. Now that's something worth singing and shouting about. See baby Jesus right there? He's the rescuer. So what should we shout about? Jesus is the king. Joy to the world. Hooray! And that's the end of our very noisy Christmas. You guys did so good listening. Do you think you deserve a treat for that awesome behavior? Yes, you do? All right. Miss Sarah's got some candy canes right there for you. So you can go on over there and check with your mom or dad if you can eat that now or later. Listen to your parents, kiddos.
That was a fantastic story, Pastor George. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Mike. If you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here. It's a joy to worship with you today. The Lord has come, and may the peace of Christ be with you today. You're probably familiar with the traditional Dr. Seuss book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Anybody familiar with that one? Maybe you saw the movie. Probably most of us are familiar with that. It's a story of how one cranky, grumpy creature, the Grinch, seeks to thwart an entire community's Christmas plans. And he does. He steals the gifts. He makes a mess of the town's beautiful Christmas decor. He took that which was glorious and he made it about himself. He turned joy into sadness. He took that which was good and he broke it. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but How the Grinch Stole Christmas actually illustrates a foundational truth about the Christmas story. In the beginning, when God created us, he hardwired us for glory. We desire it. We want it. We were created to exist in it, to live in the glory of God, with God. Yet when Adam and Eve ate from the tree they were commanded not to eat from, they sought glory that was not theirs to take. Adam and Eve and all the generations to follow no longer sought God's glory in their natural state. And so it became natural for humanity to seek their own glory. And so ever since that day, we too have been glory thieves. We want glory. We want to glorify ourselves, not God. We see it and we chase after it. We assume praise is ours when we're part of a job that's been well done. We want someone to pat us on the back. We're quick to take the credit for the good that happens in our lives. Likewise, we're also really quick to blame, aren't we, when something doesn't go as we had expected it to go. Maybe you've had a situation where you felt slighted when your wife didn't acknowledge your hard work. Or maybe you felt slighted when your husband didn't see or thank you for all that you've been doing all day. See, we take that which we have not been given and we take it as ours. We've become glory thieves. And so Jesus came once again and to invite us into his glory, to restore us to the glory in the right way at the right time, that we would be people chosen by the Most High God to encounter, to experience, to live in the midst of God's glory once again. We've become so distracted and off track by our own pursuit of our own glory that we've actually forgotten God and his glory. And so Jesus came to make God's glory visible to us again. And this is what we're going to see in the text that we're going to look at today. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to John chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 14. There should be Bibles underneath some of the chairs around you. We'll have the words on the screen as well, so you can follow along. John, in his gospel, he writes this in verse 14 of chapter 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Verse 16, "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And so if there's one big main idea that I want you to see today, it's this: because Jesus came to make God's glory visible to us, because of that, do you see God's glory? Because Jesus came to make God's glory visible to us, do you see it? Do you see his glory? Well, what should we be looking for? What do these verses that I just read, what do they show us? What do they tell us about God's glory? And ultimately, what is Christmas all about? Well, one way to say it is Christmas means to make much of Christ, to have more Christ. That's what John's gospel actually points us to, and that's what we're going to do today. The first thing that I want you to see in the text, if you have your Bible open there, is Jesus is Emmanuel. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. An author named Dane Ortlund wrote in his book, Surprised by Jesus, the Word, the Logos, which is the Word in Greek, the central meaning of the universe, the integrative center to reality, the climax and culmination of all human history, that which summons solar systems into instant existence at just the right time, became a helpless baby. That's what happened. At the time at which Jesus was born, you had Greeks and Jews in this culture where he was born. They had differing yet similar thoughts about humanity and the divine. The Greeks, they had this dualistic perspective, meaning they believed that the human person had two components, the body and the spirit. They believed that the soul was actually held captive in the body, and they longed for the day that the soul would be set free from the captivity of the body. And they believed that the Logos, in English, the Word, was that which brought all things into existence at the very beginning of time. They didn't quite understand what that meant, but they believed that's what the Logos was. And yet they didn't imagine, they couldn't imagine that the Logos could take on the flesh and blood of humanity. That was the perspective of the Greeks at the time. Now, the Jews had a slightly different perspective, but very similar. They emphasized God as the creator. They called him Yahweh, as the Bible does. Deuteronomy 6:4, known to the Jews as the Shema, was at the heart of Jewish confession. The Shema conveys that there's a sovereign reign of God, and there's a responsibility of God's people to worship him. And so this is true. Yet the Jews place such great emphasis on the opposition between God and humanity that they couldn't imagine God and humanity being so closely linked. And so in both cases, this is so interesting, the Greeks and the Jews, for both of them, the material is inferior to the immaterial. The Logos, the Word, is the one thing that the Logos, by Greek definition, could not become. And so when John writes his gospel account and he opens the way that he does and he uses this terminology that the Word, the Logos, actually became flesh, he took the very core of what the Greeks thought about the Logos and he flipped it completely on its head upside down. Now, for the Jews, the creator, who's divine, he became a creature. It's like the painter entered into the painting. God's word was the mighty divine one through whom all creation had erupted. And the Jews believed that Yahweh, God, is divine and holy. They believed that flesh falters. Yet John is saying here, look at your Bible, John's saying the Word became flesh. So how can this be? One more thing I want to show you. When John used this word in the text there, dwelt, it literally means tent or tabernacle. And so in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the place where God resided. It was where he was and met his people. The religious leaders, they'd go there to meet God. The tabernacle is the place where God, he would temporarily visit his people. Those people who abandoned him because of their sin. But now, God, he doesn't want to settle for temporary visits anymore. And so he sent the Christ from heaven to us. Jesus came to tabernacle with us that we might see his glory. And so what does all this mean for us? Well, it means that no longer does God connect with humanity only in a physical building with limited access. Listen, now God, he connects with us in a physical body with unlimited access. Guys, this is incredibly glorious. This is life-transforming stuff. And so we no longer enter the temple of wood and stone to meet with God. But God has entered the temple of flesh and blood to meet with us. And so there is no crucifixion without the incarnation first. There's no resurrection without the incarnation first. There is no second coming of Christ if there's not a first coming. And so the Creator became a creature so that we creatures can be restored to our Creator. And so this is the message of Christmas. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. If you look back at the text, end of verse 14, you see these words, full of grace and truth. This means Jesus is the Messiah. This means that God's covenant love isn't dependent on you. And if you're tracking with me, that's good news, right? God's love is his faithfulness. God's faithfulness is his love. The Messiah, full of grace and truth, is God completing, fulfilling, and finishing his covenant promise of love and faithfulness to you, his people. And so Jesus, the Word, came to rescue us. He came to fulfill the law and deliver the promises of the prophets. He came as grace and truth. And so he promised a Savior and deliverer. He promised the holy and anointed one of God. And he was sent. He was sent to redeem humanity and bring about God's kingdom in this world. And for this to become your reality, all you've got to do is believe. To believe. To trust him. To trust the Word is true in your life. In the Old Testament temple, the sick were repelled. They were declared unclean. I'll show you an example. Haggai 2, 13 and 14. We'll have this on the screen. Then Haggai said, "If anyone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean?" The priest answered and said, "It does become unclean." Verse 14, then Haggai answered and said, "So is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean." So that's the Old Testament. The New Testament has a little bit of a different message. In the New Testament temple, the body of Jesus, the sick were attracted to Christ, weren't they? They were declared clean. Well, let me show you in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. We'll have this on the screen. "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he," Jesus, "stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean." And so what do we see here? In the Old Testament, we have apart from Christ, clean plus unclean equals unclean. And then in the New Testament, in Christ, you have clean plus unclean equals clean. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the grace. He came to introduce us to the power of his glorious grace at work in our very lives. He came to rescue us from the depravity of our sin, which we are stuck in apart from Christ. And he came to be salvation, to heal us from our sin, which is far worse than leprosy or any other disease. Jesus is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament who came to rescue us. And he came to rescue us by fulfilling the law. Maybe some of you recall the transfiguration out of Matthew chapter 17. This is where Jesus leads Peter, James, and John up on top of a mountain by themselves. Matthew describes what happens with Jesus in Matthew 17. I'll read this to you. He says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then in verse 5 of chapter 17, he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And so it's in this transfiguration of Jesus Christ that Moses here represents the law, all the moral commands of God from the Old Testament. Elijah represents the prophets, all that was spoken on behalf of God to point the people to the hope of the coming Messiah. And so the transfiguration reminds us that Jesus actually is the Messiah.
that he satisfied the law, that he delivered the promises of the prophets. And Jesus, he didn't do this by making the law null and void. He didn't come to change the prophets' promises. Instead, Jesus came to show us the grace of the law. Jesus came to graciously fulfill God's promises to us. And so God's grace is the ultimate gift. And Jesus is, as the text says in John, grace upon grace. And so think about it. Your sins and failures and inadequacies, all those things that run in your mind in the middle of the night, they were all covered by the perfect, blameless life of Jesus Christ. This is grace. Jesus died for your sins at the cross. This is grace. Jesus rose to life so that you and he could tabernacle together forever. This is grace. Friends, Jesus is the Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. Receive him. But believe in his name. Make much of Christ. Merry Christmas. The final thing I want you to see from the text today is found in verse 18. It says, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And so as we make much of Christ this Christmas, you need to know that Jesus is the gospel. He has made him known. Some of you may have been here this past Sunday, and maybe you remember verses 10 and 11 that we walked through. I'll read them for you. John 1, 10 and 11. It says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." Talking about Jesus. "Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." And so Jesus, he's the author and creator of all that is in existence in this place. He came into the world. And as he came into the world didn't know him. In fact, the text tells us his very own people didn't recognize him. But I love verse 18 here, because verse 18 actually fulfills verses 10 and 11. Look at it again. "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And so Jesus, the only one, God himself, he came. This is reality. Sometimes we view God, the Lord Jesus, as this far off figure. He's somewhere out there. We can't see him. And so we think he's fiction. Guys, this is reality. This is the gospel. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ. He came. He came. God has made him known. The gospel has come to you. It's a message. It's a call. It's a proclamation. Jesus, our creator God, he walked this earth. And now the word, the truth, the gospel has been passed down from generation to generation through the Bible, the written word. And we gather as the church weekly to sing songs and proclaim Jesus as the gospel. And we hear the truth of the gospel being spoken as the word is preached. Friends, the physical person. Guys, the physical person, God himself. There he stood right before us, a flesh and blood man, Emmanuel. The word became flesh, full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. He came in human form. He came divine. He came to be the greatest proclamation of God's glory ever. And so Jesus is the Word, the Bible that became flesh. And so here's what I have to say to you today. Christmas is not just a story. It's not primarily about getting together with your family or eating a bunch of delicious food or getting the latest version of the iPhone or the PlayStation. These might be really good things, but Christmas is about a person. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the truth that you and I need to know today is that you and I, we were designed for glory. Yet your life was never about you. You were designed to partake in the glory of God. And that's what He offers you. The Bible teaches that the hope of glory is Christ in you. And so this Christmas, I invite you to receive Him. Let Christ come into you. Receive the gospel. Receive Jesus. Believe. So surrender your sin. Submit your life to Him. And as you do, the promise of verse 16 becomes reality in your life. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You see, Jesus came in glory, full of grace and truth. Glory came in Jesus so that you and I might see. Friends, do you see His glory? Do you see it? It's the glory as of the only Son of the Father. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you bring me to awe every time I open the Word. And so, God, I just ask that you would do that for each of us who are gathered here today. Holy Spirit, would you remove the veil? Open our hearts. Cause us to invite Christ in. May we see you in your glory. May we see you for who you really are. The gospel, the Messiah, Emmanuel. Father, lead us now as we lift our voices to sing of your holiness in response to who you are. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Well, we invite you to join us and stand if you're able and willing as we continue singing praise to our God.
Oh, holy night, the stars are bright. Shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Morn, fall on you. shepherds proclaim him as Lord. Let not the promised son remain a stranger. In reverent worship, may Christ your adore.
May the God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, today, tomorrow, and all the days of your life, this life and the life that is to come. Amen.